Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. It is Monday, so this is an archive show, first published as a newspaper column sometime in the last 10 years. Thanks for downloading, and I hope you enjoy this show. This story was first published on May 1st of 2016 under the headline, Albany's E.F. Lee was Oregon's first fake Viagra scammer. Before we start, this article, which is about a 1910s scammer hawking a patent remedy for erectile dysfunction, quotes directly from some of the scammer's advertising materials. These quotes contain anatomical references which, while by no means obscene, make for rather awkward reading. Here we go. Not much is known about Edward F. Lee, the Albany-based swindler sent up the river for mail fraud in 1919. In fact, Edward F. Lee may not even have been his real name. He may have assumed it as an alias to encourage people to confuse him with a highly respected and trusted Seattle-area businessman and shipbuilder of the same name. In fact, it would be a really good bet that he did exactly that. Lee's career as a huckster started out relatively mildly. In the early 1910s, his small classified ads frequently appeared in the Portland Morning Oregonian's business section, and their content was only slightly scammy. Quote, $8 every day selling orangeade powder, the new drink, reads one from May 1915. It's the craze, everybody buys, sample package 10 cents, makes a gallon, send today, Edward F. Lee, Kennewick, Washington. Of course, 10 cents was a lot of money to pay in 1915 for a packet of Kool-Aid powder, but it's not against the law to charge high prices. That can't have been all he was doing, though, because in 1916, Spokane County authorities arrested him for committing fraud through the mails. His advertisements in the Oregonian stopped for a time, and the next time they reappeared in the Oregonian, they were slightly different. Quote, valuable formulas and trade secrets, list free, Edward F. Lee, Albany, Oregon. These formulas, such as they were, included recipes for home production of liquor, which had been outlawed in Oregon several years previously. But that wasn't what got Lee in trouble with the law. That would come from the other ads he was running, at the same time in publications far distant from Lee's new home city of Albany. Ads like this one, quoted without attribution in the Journal of the American Medical Association's report on his case. Quote, men of all ages, stop growing old. You can recover and retain your youthful vigor and vitality without dangerous drugs and appliances. Our new method tells how. Send for free letter. The P. Presto Company, Albany, Oregon. This ad was, as you will have very likely guessed, a carefully coded appeal to men suffering from erectile dysfunction. At the time, ministering to this cohort of men was an extremely profitable and popular line for scammers of all types. For many men of that era, impotence was almost a fate worse than death. It was a severe blow to their masculine pride. They were desperate enough to try nearly anything in quest for a cure. And even better, erectile dysfunction was a disease that most commonly struck affluent men in their 50s and 60s, meaning they'd have plenty of money to throw around to find that cure. The hucksters rose to the occasion, peddling everything from fake folk remedies to the electric belts that were supposed to jolt men's reproductive apparatus back to life. There was even a quack surgeon in Little Rock, Arkansas, who offered to surgically implant a piece of a goat's testicle in patients. Patients who had suffered from ingesting drugs or blasting their most sensitive parts with electric current read Lee's advertisement with considerable interest. And better yet, the price was right? Free. So many of them took the time to write a letter to Lee requesting more information. In response, he would send them a form letter. In this letter, Lee described the benefits of his remedy in much blunter language. Quote, safe and sane and scientific, it is what every young, middle-aged, or old man should know, as our system will enlarge, lengthen, and strengthen the organs, making the weak strong and the strong stronger, and bring back the firmness of youth unlike any other method. The letter then announced that the price of the treatment was $2, but the patient need only send half the money up front. Upon receipt of the first dollar, Lee would mail the, quote, copyrighted new method to the patient with a bill for the remaining dollar to be paid only if the patient was 100% satisfied. In point of fact, Lee never expected to see that second dollar from his patients. When they took his bait, here's what they received in the mail from him. Quote, to build up, to strengthen and increase the blood and nerve supply to the testicles, they should be stretched by placing one hand on each side of the scrotum above the testicles and stretch them, the testicles, away from the body, moving the hands from side to side in a swaying motion while pulling. The above treatment frees the circulation in the many feet of arteries, veins, etc., and causes a strong flow of blood and nerve force to the parts. Stretch the penis the same way. Also stretch the skin of the scrotum strongly with the tips of the fingers. Above treatment should be used for varicocele, but should be given quite gently at first.
It gets worse.
Quote, should the impotency have been caused by prostate gland enlargement? Lee's letter continues. Anoint the first index finger in Vaseline or mild oil, and inserting the finger in the rectum, manipulate well the prostate gland, which lies right in front of the rectum and behind the lower portion of the bladder.
Lee might as well have saved himself some ink and simply written, thanks for the dough, sucker, better luck next time. And in fact, he probably could have done exactly that in perfect safety. No man who sent away for a patent cure for impotence would ever dare say a word about it if he felt himself scammed. But Lee's downfall seems to have come from a different product. A product he called Vivian, which he was selling as a birth control product. Birth control of any kind was, in 1919, against the law, but it was widely practiced, and there wasn't nearly as much social stigma associated with it as there was with impotence. Women who were swindled with a sugar pill birth control formula could not be depended upon to keep their mouths shut about it. And so it was that Edward F. Lee found himself, on August 4, 1919, facing a federal judge after having been found guilty of misuse of the mails. Lee's attorney, of course, tried his best to get his client a decent deal, but the prosecution had an ace up its sleeve. The prosecutor had found out about Lee's conviction for mail fraud up in Spokane County. Now knowing he was dealing with a repeat offender, Judge Wolverton threw the book at him, sending Lee to serve an 18-month sentence in federal prison. What became of him after his release, I have been unable to learn. Key sources in this story have included works by Arthur J. Cramp and the archives of the Portland Morning Oregonian from 1915, 1917, and 1919. That's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. What you've been listening to is one of more than 550 stories originally created and published as newspaper columns in first-run syndication between 2008 and today. You can read them all at offbeatoregon.com. Other Offbeat Oregon goodies include an active Facebook page, a Twitter feed, a ton of historic photos, and a bunch more stuff, including visuals for today's show and full citations to sources, all accessible via our hub page at offbeatoregon.com. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details, offbeatoregon.com/CC. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. It's called The Old Man's Waltz. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Questions, critiques, ideas for a future episode, email me at fj@offbeatoregon.com. Episodes of Offbeat Oregon History are uploaded around 6 a.m. every weekday, so the next one will be on your device and ready to go before you know it. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.